Good morning to each and every one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a rich morning already. Thank you, Brother Jeremy, for sharing that. Just a little incident I had here a couple months ago, not an incident, but an opportunity to talk about that subject is with the homeowner I was building a house for. I think it was back in December we were working there, and He pulls out a handgun out of his truck and asks Elijah if he wants to shoot a couple target practice with it. And he made this mention, it's my wife's home defense gun. And he's a professing Christian. And so instantly, you know, I was up top and I heard it. And I keep this back in my mind, hoping for an opportunity to talk about it. And about a month and a half ago, the Lord gave me an opportunity to talk to him about it. And I was just very blessed that he looked at me and said, you know, John, I've been thinking about it. So, and I want to search the scriptures out more and seek his will. So I'm looking forward to having more conversations. And so we had a very good conversation. And so... so let's take those moments to teach the truth of God and just, that's blessed. And also just want to thank you all for your support the last week with being in the hospital. She's still a little wan, I think, but I think we're trusting the Lord. The doctors were hopeful that the problem's taken care of, but she'll have to go in and month and a half or so and have another procedure done to take the stent out and for the re-evaluation. So, just keep praying that there would be complete healing when he would go back in. So we're thankful he did not have to cut her open. They did it's amazing where technology has come to today. They took everything down the throat and did it through the from the inside by going down the throat. So we're thankful for that. So they take cameras and knives and everything else inside anymore, just through the throat without cutting open. I mean, it's a blessing, but still seems pretty wild, but we're thankful. So, all right. Well, I thank you, Brother Joshua, for picking that song. Number 107, the first line there says, immortal, invisible God, only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. God is hid from our eyes. And then it says, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. And so, this morning, I just like to look at the majesty of God. It says that it's inaccessible, hid from our eyes. But there's a few men in the scripture that got a glimpse of God with their eyes. And so I'm just going to read those scriptures and see what they saw. And that is the God that we serve. That's the God that we are serving. So I'm just going to go through scripture today and look at that God who's inaccessible and hid from our eyes and just see what those few men saw. And so with that, also some of the scripture writers have... They use some interesting word phrases to describe God also. And so I'm going to look at some of those word phrases that they use. One is in Deuteronomy 7, verse 21. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. We would never say that God is terrible, right? But that's a word they use. A little bit more on that a little bit later. Deuteronomy chapter 10 is another one. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 17 says this: "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath delight in thy fathers to love them." And I want you to notice here, it's only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them. You know, this God that we're going to get a view of today, he had delight in loving the children of Israel. "And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." And so, here again we see, you know, that this God, Moses here describes him as a great God. Moses saw him face to face, basically. And he says he's mighty and terrible. And he also says there that he's regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He's not a respecter of persons, and he takes no bribes. He takes no rewards. You know, a lot of rulers today and corrupt governments, they, or even policemen in corrupt places, they take rewards and bribery. But God's not a God of that way. Nehemiah also describes God in the with these words. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him, and observe his commandments." So, how many of you have ever come in a prayer before God and called him a terrible God? I have. But I don't think they're meaning this word as you and I take it today. And I'll explain here a little bit more. Nehemiah chapter 9. Again, Nehemiah addresses him this way. 31 and 32. "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God." Here's the terms we address God, that we're familiar with addressing God. And they're good and right. But right after that he says, "Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, and on our prophets, on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day." And so, Psalms 47, verses 1 and 2, David also addresses God in this way. He says, "Oh, clap your hands, O ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." And so these different writers here, they use familiar words like merciful, gracious, love to describe God. But with it also, they use words like great, mighty, terrible. Ezekiel uses the word dreadful. And what do they mean when they say that? And I thought of this illustration. If you've ever been to a place like the Grand Canyon or the Niagara Falls, as you look across that steep fall, that steep cliff, you know, it's terrible. It almost brings a feeling of dread to you. It's that that awesome or that magnificent, if you can say it that way. And I think that's what they're trying to get at. These men who have seen God, they use this word terrible to I looked it up, and it actually uses the word reverence, awesome. And it's a word that they're trying to use to describe God. You know, we look at terrible as something bad, something horrible. But they're trying to get grasp words to describe God. And so these men in the scriptures who had visions of God use words like this, dreadful, terrible, almighty, to describe what they saw. And so God revealed himself to the children of Israel there in Mount Sinai, and they could not endure it. In Hebrews 12, verse 21 says, "And so terrible was the sight that they could not, that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." They had a vision of God. Moses said these words, "So terrible was the sight that I exceedingly fear and quake." And so with that, we'll read that account in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 17 through 20 there. It says, "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God." Notice that. He brought them out of the camp to meet with God. "And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." So here we see God came down in a fire, in a smoke. If we jump over to Exodus, and he gave the Ten Commandments here, and if we jump over in the next chapter, Exodus chapter 20, we read in verse 18, and it says, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." They backed up. They got away from it because so terrible was the sight. "And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." And so that's kind of the burden of my question, my message there in verse 20, where Moses said that God wanted to reveal himself to them, that his fear may be upon them, that they sin not. And Romans 3:18 says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." And Proverbs 16:6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And I think that today, the biggest reason that men and women struggle with sin and have no victory is because they don't have the proper fear of God. You know, if we would see God like they did, these men, and like we're going to see they saw, it would cause, it would bring a fear within us that we would live a victorious life if we would truly get a glimpse of who God is. Because Proverbs 16:6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." I think today, as Romans 3:18 says, there's a lack of fear of God among even professing Christians today, because they struggle with sin. They struggle with not living a victorious life. Many people in the world today view God as a sugar daddy with a white beard that overlooks sin. Brother Jeremy read those scriptures in 1 John chapter 3. He who is born of God doth not commit sin. He who is of the devil does commit sin. And so, they see God as only a God of love, but they don't see the side of God that hates sin. David and Moses, Nehemiah, they say when they got a glimpse of God, the word they used to try to describe him was the word terrible. They miss the side that Ezekiel says is dreadful. You know, if you would have asked the children of Israel there that day, it says the sight was so terrible. They removed themselves. They got away from that mountain. They didn't want to be close. They got a fear of God. And so with that, I'm going to turn to an account of a man who actually saw God with his eyes. You know, as that songwriter says, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. And that is Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel gives a very, very vivid account of what he saw and what. And so I'm just going to read down through the chapter here and comment on it and let the word speak for itself. And one thing here that I want you to keep in mind, that if you want to spend eternity in heaven with God, this is what you're going to be spending eternity with. This is who you're going to see. This is who you're going to be spending your time with. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And so we see here that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And now he begins to explain what he saw. He says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire." So here, Ezekiel saw a whirlwind. How many of you seen whirlwinds, ready? Dust swirling. They're kind of neat to watch, right? And all of a sudden, he sees this whirlwind. And then it says he sees a fire enfolding within it. Inside, there's a fire just enfolding, it says. It's going in and out and doing all kinds of things there. And it says the brightness was about it, out of the midst thereof, the color of amber. And so, color of amber is bright yellow orange. If you've ever taken a piece of metal and cut it with a torch, you know, that glow, bright yellowish orange glow, that's a picture. That's the brightness of it. You know, as you look at that piece of metal glowing hot, and as you're cutting it, there's a beauty in that, right? How many of you ever seen that? Hard to describe, but that's what the color amber is. Verse 5, it says, "Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of man." So they had somewhat the resemblance. There were four creatures. They had the resemblance of a man. If you'd have looked, it'll look similar to us here. And it says, "And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings." That's a little bit different looking than us, right? "And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished bronze." So they had feet like calves. They had a split hoof. these preachers did. They had a split hoof like a calf, and it says their soles of their feet sparkled like burnished bronze. And so there was some shine there. It says, and they had the hands of a man under their wings. So they had apparently had wings coming out of their shoulder, and they had hands underneath those wings. They looked like they had the body of a man. Verse 8, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings, and their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. And they went everyone straight forward. So their wings were connected, too, somehow, some way. And it says in verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man. So he had the face of a man that was faced outward, the face of the lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. So the face of an eagle on the back side. So the head, you know, had a face of a man in the front, face of a lion on the right side, and the face of an ox on the left, and the face of an eagle in the back. Verse 11 says, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. So they had some wings covering their body. And it says, and they went everyone straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. They turned not when they went. And so they moved in unison. They moved together. Verse 13, here Ezekiel is going into more details. And he says, and as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. Now the fire went forth lightning. So as he looked at these creatures, you know, fire was just going just up and down. And it says, and fire went out forth as lightning, fast as lightning. And so they were burning. There was fire just going up and down within them. Verse 14, it says, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So every time they would move as one, it was as a flash of lightning. Verse 15, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness. Their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so basically, there was a wheel. They had some wheels. I don't know if, and there was wheels within wheels, like this way, inside, like going the opposite direction is kind of how I understand it. And so they, as they would go, they went up on their four sides. They could go this way, they could just flop this way, and the wheels would take them wherever they wanted to go, fast as lightning. They moved straight forward. And it says there, verse 16, that the appearance of the wheels and their works was like unto the color of beryl. And I looked up that word beryl, what color that means, and it means sea green. I don't know if you've ever been and seen different places of coral reef waters. You know, it's like, it's a very beautiful green, and that's what the color of the wheels were. Verse 17, it says, when they went up on their four sides, and they turned not when they went. So they would basically go like this, or turn and go like this. They would just go wherever. Verse 12 says, wherever the Spirit was to go, they went. They were subject to the Spirit of God. Verse 18, and as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. There's that word, dreadful, their rings. I picture the rings around the wheels. The wheels were so big, it says they were dreadful. And notice what it says, and the rings were full of eyes around about them. The rings were full of eyes. How many of you, here's a wheel that's full of eyes. You know, if I just would take Brother Calvin here and say every eye turn to Calvin, look up on Calvin, Calvin start getting a little uncomfortable, right? All these eyes focusing on Calvin right now. Be a little bit uncomfortable, but you know, here's a picture of a wheel that's full of eyes that is looking and watching. And I have an example here in Daniel chapter 4. You know, what are these eyes doing? Daniel chapter 4, verse 13 here. Daniel chapter 4, verse 13, there's where Nebuchadnezzar had his, it starts to tell Daniel his dream. And he says in verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. And so here we see these eyes, I believe these eyes are watchers. They're, we all believe that God is keeping account of our life, you know, and the Bible says we're going to give an account. And so you have these wheels that are full of eyes. Ezekiel saw these wheels. It says they were so big, they were dreadful. There's so many eyes, you know, and I just want to share this, you know, don't think you can hide anything from God because He has lots of eyes watching. These wheels are full of eyes. Verse 23 here, Daniel interprets the dream. He says, and whereas the king saw a watcher and holy one come down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. In a tender grass of the field, let it be wet with dew of heaven. And let this portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. So here we see Daniel interpreting the dream, and he's saying these watchers, all these eyes have been watching Nebuchadnezzar. They've been watching his pride. They've been watching Nebuchadnezzar lift himself up. And eventually these watchers says, it's enough. It's time to hew him down. And so, you know, we see that, you know, when man lifts himself up, you know, God, I believe, like with Nebuchadnezzar, God will only take so much, and He sends His holy ones to bring people down. You know, these eyes, I believe, are watching every move and every moment of our life. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open with unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And so everything is naked and open with the Hebrews says. Everything you and I do is being watched by eyes. There's no escape. We go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Says this, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. So if we go back to Ezekiel here and we look at that ring, that wheel that is full of eyes, full around about the four. And those wheels are able to see every which way. You can do things in secret. You can try to hide, but there's no hiding. These eyes are recording everything for you, for God, of your life, every moment. You're not going to get away. Ezekiel chapter 8, here, goes even a little bit deeper. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 8 through 12. Here God is telling him to dig into a wall, and he's going to show him some imaginations of some men. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. When I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, behold, the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. So here God takes Ezekiel in and shows him things that these eyes are seeing in the imaginations of man's heart. And so what is God seeing in the imagination of your heart as these eyes look upon? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it bringing glory and honor to you? God's video camera is watching every detail. Back to Ezekiel chapter 1, start reading verse 19. It says, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. When the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. So these wheels were fast to them. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So here's a picture of a surrendered life, you know, to the will of God. Verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as a voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as a noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was above their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So these four creatures, you know, are, it says that on top of these four creatures was a firmament. And it was the color was this terrible crystal, and it was above their heads. And here we see there was a throne set on top of that firmament, and I believe it's God's throne. If we go over to Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1, we read this. Ezekiel describes a little bit more. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, where appeared over them, as it was a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherubim, fill thy hands with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. And so here, these four creatures are holding the throne of God. And it calls it terrible crystal. And if we go to Revelations chapter 4, John describes this very same scene. John also saw the very same thing and uses very similar verses here. And I don't know if I'm going to read it for the sake of time here, but I'm running out of time. Revelation chapter 4, we read, and starting in verse 5, it says, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal," the very same thing Ezekiel saw. "And in the midst was the throne. Round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Four beasts. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face of a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them that were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And so I want you to notice here that these beasts, they had their eyes, they were able to see the proper perspective of God. And they cried out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy." And so I just want to encourage you this morning that these four creatures, they are holding this crystal sea of glass, this firmament, as Ezekiel describes it, and it's the throne of God. It's what basically you could say these four beasts are the legs of God's throne. God is sitting upon these four creatures, and God is watching. God is recording your life. Verse 27 of Ezekiel chapter 1. "And as I saw, and I saw as a color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward." So as Ezekiel saw and saw this throne and saw this person sitting upon it, There was fire round about with him, the appearance of loins even upward. From his loins upward, all he saw was fire. And I find it interesting, you know, in Mount Sinai, there was smoke, there was fire, it says. You know, every time people had a vision of God, they saw these things. John saw the same things. And it says, "And from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were appearance of fire." Everywhere he looked in this man, it was fire. And it had a brightness around about him. And it says, "As the appearance of a bowl that is in the cloud." John uses, I didn't read it there for the sake of time, in Revelation chapter 4, he says, "As a rainbow." So was the appearance of the brightness round about him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And so what I want to... Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Our God is... Exodus 24:17 says, "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." So this is a picture of what, you know, we sang that song, "Immortal, invisible, inaccessible, hid from our eyes." Here's a picture of this God that people saw that's invisible from our eyes. And every account that we have in the scriptures, when men saw him, they fell flat on their faces, dead men. They fell. So great was the sight. That's the God that you and I serve. And, you know, John, he fell at his feet as dead when he saw God there in Revelation. Daniel was with his face to the ground when he had his experience. This is the God that you and I are going to stand face to face with someday. This is the God who hid himself in a cloud to lead the children of Israel by day. This is the God who hid himself in a pillar of fire by night to lead them. And because if they would have saw him physically, they would have not been able to serve him. They'd have been just on their face as dead men, unable to move. This is the God that children of Israel backed away from at Mount Sinai because so terrible was the sight. And this is the same God who has hidden himself in Jesus Christ today for us today. Colossians chapter 3 says, for ye are dead with, for our lives are hid with Christ. I should just read that. So today, God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So this God, you know, that we got to look at today, you know, that we would not be able to stand or serve, has hid himself in Christ so that we can be hid in Christ and serve him. In John 14, Jesus told Philip that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He has hid himself in Jesus Christ today that you and I may approach him. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Verse 7, if ye have known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So this God here that we looked at, everyone who came into his presence fell on their faces as dead men, has made a way to come into his presence through Jesus Christ, because he desires a relationship with us, because he wants to be a father to us, because he wants to show us mercy and love. And 1 Kings chapter 19, couple verses. In closing here, very familiar passage, 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 12. Here's Elisha. And Elisha here is running from Ahab or Jezebel there. And he's running for his life. And verse 11, and he said, go forth, stand up on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. We read about the whirlwind, right? There in Ezekiel. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. You know, we read Mount Sinai, there was quaking and trembling. And we also just read that God was in this fire. And then he says, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So God's today in that still small voice, speaking in your conscience. You know, those eyes are watching you. God's Spirit is bringing conviction. He's giving you that still small voice. You know, we read of this God who is in this fire, who is in earthquakes, who is in this smoke. But today, through Jesus Christ, he's in that still small voice. So I want to lead those thoughts with you. That's the God we serve. You know, he's still all that, what we just read in Ezekiel chapter 1. But today, he's that God. He's a God in a still, small voice speaking to you. So don't harden your hearts, because the eyes are watching. They're recording. There's full of eyes within, without, and behind, all over. So all things are naked and open unto the eyes and those wheels, and are being recorded to give an account on the day of judgment. So God bless you all.